This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Wait. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Another beautiful day right here in Hawaii. Listen, we are going to take off where we left off last week. It's an important issue. For those of you that have heard all of this before, I understand, and it's you probably sitting cozy in a house with a roof over your head and not worried and got money in the bank and got some Bailey's cream in your coffee and all that. No worries. But there's a section of the population here in this town that has worries and no home, no roof, and no Bailey's. But some accuse them of drinking too much Bailey's to be out on the street living in the parks. But I don't believe that. And we're taking up the subject of the sale of affordable homes by the city and county of Honolulu. As you know, we talked last week with Steve Loesch and Miss Jane Pasquale. And so we had our opinions, and those opinions, I'm sure, I've shared the same documents that they share. And you can draw the conclusion that this is just a bad deal. And since last week, new developments, and we thought the city council was going to do the right thing in honor of the grand insect or Mandela or Martin Luther King or humanity or something and do the right thing and get containment of this out-of-control sale and untrusted sale. Personally, my opinion is the sale shouldn't occur. We have that as affordable homes. So why would we sell that? The idea would be to acquire more and be more efficient in the management of those affordable homes. But for some strange reason, we believe, our government believe that we get it, we sell it, then go back and say, we don't have homeless shelters. We need more money. So anyway, we're going to take it up from here. And Jane and Steve, good morning. And
good morning.
Tell us what you got and why you're
good
back.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us again today.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody. Hope you're safe and dry this morning. It's a beautiful tropical weather here. I love the rain. Nice to have a roof over your head.
Yeah.
We do have some news. There had been city news in the housing since we talked last Sunday. At city council meeting on Wednesday, last Wednesday, city council introduced two resolutions. One for the administration to slow or stop the sale, and the other for the city council itself to slow or stop the sale. And this really freaked the administration out, and the buyer as well. This was a very interesting city council meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch only one city council meeting a year, that would have been the one to watch. They ended up deferring both resolutions after much discussion, some very emotional, much discussion. They ended up deferring both resolutions. That means they did not accept either one. They didn't pass either one. But they didn't defeat either one either. They're still on the table. They will expire naturally if they don't act on them later. Or they could pick one up and act on it if the city and the buyer continue to disrespecting city council and making no sense. Several council members said that council itself, not just residents, we've always been troubled by this. We simply can't get answers from the city. Well, neither can city council. And several city council members said at the time they're simply tired of this. They,
mm-hmm.
They've got to start getting answers.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, defer. So does that mean they will only take up the issue again if it comes up? Or is it, what does defer mean, really?
Defer means to hold off on acting.
Okay.
It means just to wait, to step back. Defer does not mean to defeat the resolutions. Mm-hmm. So they didn't stop the sale at that time. It doesn't mean that the resolutions are defeated.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean the resolutions are passed.
Mm-hmm.
Either. They're
right.
Neither. They don't vote the resolutions up or down.
Well,
they
you see, that troubles me. That troubles me that they've deferred. Are they deferring because they're trying to give the city time to fix the sale? Or are they deferring because they don't want to be accountable for not going forward with the sale? What, I mean, I'm very troubled with defer.
Yeah, well, I would have preferred that they had stopped.
Yeah. Or at least to pass the resolution to rescind the sale. That's, either you're in or you're out. You know, to me, defer is like, well, I'm on the fence.
That means if we do nothing, the resolutions will expire. But if we continue to be unhappy, then council can pick up a resolution again within maybe a year before they expire.
Well,
they're still alive. The resolutions are alive. They're just sitting there with neither voted up or down.
Okay, so we've got resolutions that are still alive because they've been deferred. Meanwhile, the sale will continue to move forward and is scheduled to close, I believe it's March 14th or... when is this
well, it's
March
little,
or April?
It's a little more interesting than that. The buyer claimed that the mere fact of putting these resolutions on the table brings the city into breach of its contract.
Now, who said the city was in breach of contract?
The buyer. The proposed buyer.
The buyer is
Hawaii Affordable Housing Partnership. The buyer claiming that the city is in breach of contract because the mere fact of these resolutions makes it impossible for the buyer to get its funding. So the buyer has declared itself in a default.
Well, then if you're in default of a contract, that means the contract is null and void.
The city had at the time the buyer delivered its letter announcing default, because the city was in breach. The buyer says they're in default, but it's the city's. The city caused it.
So in other words, they're pointing fingers at each other.
Well, the city has 10 days to fix this.
10 days from the council meeting.
From Wednesday, from the delivery of the letter.
See, this is from my stance. This is indicative of a government that just simply failed. If as you described, it's in default. The contract is in default.
Well, the buyer declared themselves in default because the city was in breach.
Right. Well, whatever the explanation is, let me just back up. And here we are approaching the city council to huddle and stumble and fumble and see if they got any balls to vote for one of these resolutions, when in fact they have the power to say, well, gee, if it's in conflict and it's contradicting and you're in default,
and they're representing
we're
people.
Done. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Done. Kill it. Forget the resolutions.
Yeah.
We want good government. But see, the problem is that everybody, and that's why on this show here, I'm always reluctant when someone say, well, Councilman Carol Cox introduced a bill. But knowing Carol Cox, how slick he is, I know that Carol Cox is just going to introduce that bill and ain't going to do a damn thing later about it other than just let it float through. And if the constituents want to push it through and grovel over it and beg to have it scheduled a hearing, that's the danger of this modern-day city council government. They're willing to introduce a bill, and then come election time, I introduce 35 bills. So don't blame me for the shopping carts. Hell, I have a right to bust them up on the sidewalk, the shopping carts. And don't blame me for the homeless, because I introduced the bill. But what did you do in the process? So with great reluctancy, I'm always hesitant to say, attach a name with, in the early part of the game. Because what happens is just what we see here. They should have killed that and says, are you telling us that there is a stalemate or problems with this contract, with this purchase, and they're in default? Oh, my God. Forget the resolutions. Well, Mr. Chairman, I moved.
This is why I'm puzzled, is that why would the city council defer on something when clearly the buyer is accusing the city and the city is accusing the buyer and the council is accusing... I mean, come on now. There's obviously a breach somewhere, so doesn't that make the contract null and void?
But I think maybe it should have taken place in January, because Christmas is a giving season, and we're all kind, and we don't want to... Apparently, that's the city council's mindset.
That's a whole nother show, Christmas season.
Well, it... bottom line for this, I think you're right. You're wise to be cautious here. I think the bottom line from a resident perspective is the buyer put $143 million on the table, and everybody went stupid. That when you put $143 million on the table, people will believe anything you say after that. And from a resident perspective, almost nothing that the city and the buyer tell us about this sale is true.
Mm-hmm.
The sale, the numbers simply don't add up. The math of this doesn't work, but nobody's looking at the math. They don't want to look at the math because the buyer put $143 million.
Okay, so my question is, what happens now? The council deferred both resolutions, so what happens now? I know we have a talk story session coming up with our council person, our senator, and our representative just for our district. But what happens as a whole to all these affordable homes? The sale is scheduled to close March 14th, but nobody has declared that this contract should be null and void because of all the finger-pointing and all the incorrectness going on. So what? What happens now?
What does this fix? Well, being the Christmas season and all, I'm going to be hopeful. In what I suspect is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I think part of the problem from the beginning is that city council has given the administration way too much leeway. They've not stepped up to their proper check and balance legislative role to the administration's executive role.
Mm-hmm.
Our representative and democratic government, when it's working like it's supposed to, is a check and balance proposition. And city council has not done that.
Mm-hmm.
I think at its best that city council is now waking up to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we're seeing here is that city council is tired of not being able to get answers from the administration. They're waking up to the fact that the math, the funding after over a year still hasn't come through. That the math does not add up. It's not a win-win-win situation. The current residents are going to lose
mm-hmm.
immediately.
Yeah.
And the administration is simply saying things that aren't true. City council, this is my charitable interpretation, city council is finally waking up to its responsibilities, stepping into its responsibilities, its governance decision making responsibilities, its
mm-hmm.
check and balance responsibilities, and starting to ask questions.
Well, I'm feeling a little nausea here. You're saying the city council is waking up, but damn it, they just last week sat there in a stupor and deferred a bill. I know the general westernized term for deferring a bill. It might grow legs next year, or next week, next month, or someone may come along and go, oh, look, there's a bill that should have been introduced. Give it life again. Nonsense. If they defer something, you're out. It's over. They didn't want to deal with it, and that was the extent of it. You know, and let's see, I on one hand, I agree with, and I'm not being disagreeable with you, but I don't want to project and represent that the city council is sitting there about ready to don on its silver guns and boots and hop on its horse and run out for it, because you know that is not, because if it was, that would have been, that reaction would have been the day that you said in a meeting last week. So I think the fact that we use the gauges is this. When you drive down the streets and you see the number of homeless people and the conditions, and then you see the hurried pace that the city council and the administration operate under to make it illegal to sit on the sidewalk, to sleep on the sidewalk, to put a tent, and yet they can't get off their asses and do anything. So, you know, let's be, go ahead and present as you would, but I have to say, their actions offers no promises at the administration level, at the city council level, at the buyer's level, and you and I and Jane and others need to be very adamant about, in my opinion, this is a grand opportunity
to put it where it really hurts.
Well, you know, speaking so. Personally, the council is supposed to represent the residents,
right.
the voting people. You know, so to me, they did not do what I wanted them to do. They did not do what, I mean, their jobs to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, why defer something if there's so much wrong with it?
Yeah. I by the way, guys, I contacted Rod Tam. I don't know if you were able to raise him, but I have him online here.
Oh,
as you can hear
great.
Him back there, he's rattling his papers. He's ready to talk, raring to go, right, Rod?
Right.
Rod Tam is former city councilman, state representative, state senator, and he actually, as you mentioned last week, he is one of the councils who is responsible for bringing this in the sale itself. Good morning, Rod. Go ahead and.
Good morning. How you doing? Yeah. If I may add a little history to all this, when I was a city councilman, there was problems in terms of the affordable housing in Chinatown existing with 11 building structures. So I introduced a proposal that we sell the structures but keep the land to control the rent. To have it more affordable, continuously to the life of the land. And but things are going haywire at this time.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kind of conditions being made between the administration and the current buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see why there's questions out there in the community among the residents living in those affordable rental housing units, and then also to those who bid for the contract to buy the structures. Things are not going well at all. There's no open government, and that's why the residents are up in arms. I don't blame them, quite frankly.
Mr. Tam, I'm a resident, so yes, I'm up in arms, and I'm up in arms, and I, again, I'm speaking personally. I don't want to piss anybody off, but I'm pissed off. So I feel that the council did not do their job. I feel that deferring something is just putting it under the rug. Let's deal with the issue at hand, and you're either in or you're out. You're not going to sit on the fence on this issue. You know?
Well, they should have done a council, and I read something in the paper, because the newspaper, the Star Advertiser, is never accurate, quite frankly. Neither is a TV news, yeah. You have to find out for yourself in terms of what actually is truthfully happening. But in the case of the city council, you have a council member, Carol Fuganaga, who is supposed to talk to the residents and follow through to make sure that the residents are well provided for in their affordable housing units.
In all fairness, Ms. Fukunaga has been meeting with the residents. She's been very good to us. She's been trying to do everything she can for us. I'm speaking to the council as a whole. I'm not targeting Ms. Fukunaga because she has been very helpful
Did
to us.
Did she vote to defer the bill?
Honestly?
Yes or no? I mean, it's simple,
yes.
guys. Let's, okay, let's
Yeah,
see.
The
okay.
vote to defer was,
okay.
was unanimous.
So let's, you know.
There was
you
also
know, what should have been done, if I may, a quick and easy way of approaching this is frustration. It is basically to defer, make a motion by resolution to defer the mayor from taking any action.
But why defer? Why not just keep him from taking action?
No, you defer until the council fully investigates to make sure that the tenants are well provided for in affordable units.
You're saying you just don't defer it for the sake of deferring it. You have an action attached to that deferment, correct?
I have a full investigation by the city council.
That's what leaves me with a blank stare, because while we may not agree with the process, right now you don't have anything. They just said, we're deferring and get the heck out of here. But at least... And that doesn't mean she had to do that. It's just talking process.
No, okay.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying it's talking process.
I understand. From a personal standpoint,
yes.
This sale, this is not the first sale.
Right, I
okay?
agree.
Okay? There have been this... In the history of this building alone, in the history of this issue alone, there have been many sales.
Right.
And why is now the council just saying, oh, we need to investigate this? This sale itself, the current sale, has been going on now for 2 years. They've had 2 years
right.
to investigate.
What then,
when we say speaking personal, what did you anticipate or expect of them, or the outcome, and what would you
like
them
to... As I've been saying, what I wanted them to do is not defer anything, but to rescind.
Right.
Vote to rescind the resolution, right. not the resolution, but rescind the sale. That was what was on the table, correct?
Right.
Resolution
13-292
said... Let me refer to my notes because I don't want to misquote anything. The exact title of that bill was, or the resolution was, rescind the...
Was it 291?
292.
Okay, I don't have that.
I believe it was 292. I don't have it in front of me, but the gist of the resolution was supposed to be to rescind the sale, or rescind the right to move forward with the sale.
But anyway, the idea for just purpose of this conversation, I'm looking in retrospect what happened and just discussing that, but carefully not to say and recommend or suggest or infer that this council was acting in the best interest of the people. I'm saying, okay, they gathered, they convened, and it didn't play out the way we thought it would.
Right. So here's the exact, it says relating to... Rescission of the Honolulu Affordable Housing Preservation Initiative. Okay, now that bothers me too. HAPI stands for Honolulu Affordable Housing Preservation Initiative. There is nothing affordable about this initiative. Nothing affordable about this initiative.
Yeah, a little more background to continue the background here. Rod is exactly right. Rod was the first and the foremost advocate of a leasehold sale to preserve affordability, and where the city keeps the land and sells the buildings. So far as I know, Rod, you were the first and foremost about that. You were also the guy that introduced the item into Resolution 08-108, calling upon the city administration to continue to communicate and partner
with
residents.
But they're cherry-picking resolution.
That was Rod's amendment to our resolution, which the administration proceeded to ignore. But a little history here about the sale and our representation. We were always told, from the beginning, we were told that the administration couldn't answer questions because this is business and negotiation and contract stuff, and they couldn't necessarily answer all these questions, an RFP business. However, when the sale hit City Council, when all the administration proposals got to City Council, we would have full and complete discussion. Everything would be discussed. It didn't happen. When the sale hit City, that was a lie. When it hit City Council, all of a sudden we had a hurry. We got to hurry, hurry, hurry. We have to approve this so the buyer could go for funding. And it was rushed through City Council without the full discussion that we were promised and without doing the math to stop and figure out that no residents will be displaced is another lie.
You don't have to be a genius to know that residents will be displaced.
10% per year rent increases for 10 years are going to displace low-income residents.
Right.
And the city calls that a choice. You're not being forced out.
Listen, I'm not low-income, and I'm going to be displaced.
Well, at the time that this was rushed through City Council in October 2012, our district, Chinatown and District 6, did not have representation. We hadn't, Tulsi Gabbard had just left. The District 6 seat was vacant. We did not even have a sitting city council person when this decision was rushed through in October 2012. Now we do, and...
Rod, if you would, there's some noise in the background. I don't know if you're shuffling through papers.
Yeah,
and
it's
coming over the air.
No problem.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Okay, radio guy. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. So now, when I'm being a little charitable, not just simply because it's Christmas, but because we, in fact, we really do have area legislative representation. We have Carol Fukunaga on the council. We have Carl Rhodes that sits in the House. Senator John Oakland. We have Senator Susie is our state senator. We really do have pretty good area representation. And long before last week, we've been meeting with them. We have a series of regular resident meetings going on with our area legislators, with these three representatives, where we are getting these issues on the table. And this is the first time in these years that Jane is talking about, the first time that anybody has actually sat down seriously with residents, listened to our problems, and is actually beginning to try to understand the math.
Okay, and I don't want to put rain in the parade here, but here's the problem. This is the sale I thought we were discussing. As far as the many other issues, I would love to come back and we talk profusely about those. But right now the issue is fleshing out what transpired, the need for this resolution that was sought, the need to object to the sale, the need to pursue this, and they just didn't do it. So,
that's my point.
My concern is, I don't want to sit here and I'm not an advocate for government entities that don't do a damn thing. I mean, I don't have the money to spend to sit and tell the public, they're 20 years from now, they're going to have it together.
We missed an opportunity.
Yes,
I think
exactly.
You're right.
But
we missed
the opportunity, and so that was why I wanted to let the listeners know, don't trust what is being tossed out there. Let's look at the mechanics, and in doing so, we can arrive at a point that our council, our mayor, will feel that he's accountable to us, to the tenants, to the citizens, not to this process. That's
the
problem.
But that's what the mayor feels. He feels that he is, okay, I understand where the mayor's coming from. He wants to make money for the city. I understand that. And I understand that my rents are eventually going to go up. What I don't understand is why they have to go up so abruptly and why the sale has to be rushed like this.
Yeah. See, I'm not getting a headache over it, but I'm just trying. We hear they publicly proclaim that there was default.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, guys. I just can't sit back and then talk about what they're planning on doing when, in fact, if something has defaulted,
then doesn't make it.
When your brakes fail on your truck and you can manage to pull it over the side of the road, you park the damn thing, and then you call the mechanic and you call the emergency or toll service and what have you. When this meeting that took place, was there an emergency toll service called by the council? What did they leave you with? We left there that meeting what?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly my point, what now?
Yeah. This is this typical behavior that we, as sheeple, have learned to accept. Bad.
Sheeple?
Bad. We got to go up to the big house and see what the farmer is. Is he going to milk us all or harvest us all, cut the wool, or just slaughter us? We don't know. We go up there, and they convene, and they're walking around, and we've just told the rest of the sheep, we'll be back to get you guys because they're going to help us. And we come back. What happened? Oh, they're sharpening their knives. So we're getting nowhere,
No, you put $143 million on the table, and seriously, people get stupid.
But
they're doing anything to keep that going. I like the car analogy. You're driving a broken car down the road, and pieces of it dragging along the street, sparks flying. But instead of stopping, stop and fix your car. And then you'll get where you're going. Instead of that, we just keep driving.
We as the council should have been very adamant. You know, Mr.
And
Mayor?
And they missed the opportunity. They didn't even have to reselect a buyer. They still have the same buyer.
But
they missed the opportunity to install real transparency and accountability into the process and fix the process for everybody and stop lying to residents.
Well, this is the part about being an advocate is so difficult because unless you're willing to toe the line completely from start to finish, when you see it broken, to move up there, and when you meet with them and shake their hand and you smell the perfume and you just go, oh, hi, how are you? We're human, and we cave into that. I'm not saying hit them or be violent or be disrespectful, but to hold them accountable from the start, we define that there's a problem to the point when they offer some objection or defer the resolution. I'm sorry. I think that's where we as advocates
fail the people in the shopping carts along the parks and in the systems, and that's going to get them driven out when they're claiming. No one is going to be driven out of this system.
No residents will be.
People are going, oh, my God, did you see they're selling it? We better move over here in the Wailua because we can afford it now. They will never show up on the record as being displaced.
Mm-hmm.
They voluntarily moved for financial or whatever. Well, won't have to explain. Rod,
can I interject? Yes,
go ahead.
In terms of, I know that, understand the frustration and the concern, and then what the council did was deferring the resolutions, and you probably figure out what to do next. Well, basically, in the steps to do next to protect your interest in affordable rental housing, figure out what the tenants want. How do you make government more accountable? Okay.
Once you
figure out your goal, then you have your council member, and you get them to take action.
A
resolution can be introduced within 6 calendar days for a public hearing. You know.
Well, I tell you, if you were in the studio, Jane is really not comfortable with that one.
Well, on the other hand, though, that's kind of where I'm coming from. It's not perfect, but you know, you're right. We advocacy. You've got to be persistent. You've got to be opportunistic and strategic, and you got to run with what you got. We have no standing with the administration. The residents have been shut out of administration discussions since long before this sale started up.
Well,
however, we do have standing with our area legislators. So we're doing exactly what I think Rod is talking about.
And
we're cultivating a working relationship and waking our legislators up to how bad the math is.
Mm-hmm.
This puts them in and to be effective, I think we also have to appreciate that we are putting our legislators on the line.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting them in between a rock and a hard place, which is their job, don't get me wrong.
How are we?
Our best bet is waking them up to how bad the math of this is and encouraging them to stand up on our behalf, and that's exactly what we're doing. And it's not an overnight thing.
No, it's not, but it's been over 2 centuries.
This is not an over-century thing.
One last comment, if I may. Steve is right. Yeah, you got to keep on pursuing. You got to use the government process to your benefit, okay? And by all means, use the tools to make known that what you guys want. You know?
Rod, before you go. You served in council in the Senate and the House. And what are the benefits, and why would an entity defer a bill or an item? If you would, give us a couple of reasons why. We're not
number
saying
one, I, yeah. Number one, I see the council very confused. They don't know who to believe. So they're not in favor of passing any type of resolution that would just stop it automatically in cold. You know, they don't know what the facts are. To be honest with you, they haven't done their homework. You know, that's a big problem there. And number two, by doing the action that they did, they gave the go-ahead for the administration to follow through. And if you don't put a stop to it right now using the structured listed process of Sunshine Law saying that 6 days for a public notice of a public hearing, then the mayor will get his way. So you have to work with your legislators, especially in the city council, to have a resolution, to have an investigation on the whole thing, and for the mayor to desist from taking any action now. And you call in HUD also, too, you know, because you're talking about affordable housing. They're using the formula from HUD.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. There actually is some talk of an audit, of auditing some of this process, of calling in a city audit, and especially of the management of the HUD money. It was the mismanagement of the HUD money in the first place that really put these resolutions on the table, because the sale will free up about $36-37 million in HUD money. that's invested in these properties, so the sale will free up that money. The city failed to produce a detailed proposal for using that money, and so stands experience a considerable questioning from HUD, if not actually lose that money eventually.
I'm sorry, Steve. Mr. Tam, you referred to a 6-day period in which we can call for a public hearing. I don't understand that process. Can you say that again?
Yeah, when I was a legislator, Steve Representative, I introduced the legislation whereby for any public hearings, you must have at least 6 calendar days notice. Okay. What happens is the council, the city council, can call for any public hearing with a 6 days notice on any resolution.
So how would I ask a city council person, my council person, to call for this? Because that meeting took place on the 11th. So, yeah. Technically, you know, tomorrow.
Well, the 11th is gone already, but
right.
To come up with a new proposal or a resolution, say, for example, asking for a full investigation of the negotiations between the prospective buyer and administration. And with the residents, your residents involved also, too. Okay? Along with the council person of the area.
And so, the 6 day.
Then once you have the resolution drawn up, you put it on notice publicly for 6 days before the public hearing occurs.
And it has to be announced publicly and advertised that this meeting is going to take place 6 days prior to it occurring. Or if you fail to do that, it becomes an unlawful gathering or convening of that and to hear this bill, because the Sunshine Act, giving public access and transparency, and that's exactly part of the problem, because it has not been transparent, even not just the meetings, but the dissemination of information.
Okay,
yeah.
So
you use the listed process to your benefit.
Okay, so...
I can further explain to you if you want to take it on my number.
Okay.
My cell number is error code 808-216-5454.
Okay. Thank you. I'll give you a call later.
Yeah, but you have to get your area council member to be on your side.
Yes.
Right.
To be brave enough to introduce the resolution that you guys want to come forth with.
Right.
Yeah, she's good. She's listening.
Well,
we already have
thank you, Mr.
scheduled
Tim.
Or penciled in. Let me ask you something here, Rod.
Uh-huh.
We have a meeting scheduled already between residents and our area legislators, and this is Carol, Susie, and Carl, all of them. We already have a meeting. It's the third meeting in our series, penciled in for January the 6th at the Capitol Building. How would
you got to get one for the council right now. No,
like
that's kind of too late. Yeah, you got to have one before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because these resolutions
can be drafted out very fast. It doesn't take any science formula to do it.
Okay.
Just have them design a resolution, then go in and ask Carol. She seemed to be riding shotgun on this, and have her introduce it. She's a city councilwoman, and then that be it.
Right. So the deadline is tomorrow.
Yeah, ask for an investigation.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with HUD involved, and you as your coalition of residents, and ask the Office of Information Practices to be involved also to the State of Hawaii to make sure that there's openness, that claim there's no openness.
Now, before you go in, and you mentioned Breen Horimoto offered an amendment. In lieu of the... amendment, and how did that play out, and how would that have impacted this, what you originally went there to obtain or accomplish?
He offered a floor amendment that would have taken Resolution 13-292, which calls on City Council to rescind the sale. He offered a floor amendment to gut 13-292 from stopping the sale and put in language for City Council to support the sale, to just gut that resolution and turn it around 180 degrees.
Now,
he's
not
a friend of you guys.
No, he is not. He was wringing his hands. He was really freaked out. Oh, my goodness, what can we do to fix the sale? Oh, my goodness.
So he got the bill. The original bill was to make them, was to fix it, the resolution. But he decided to strip it of its language, original language, and then go ahead and introduce language to go ahead and sell it.
To repurpose the resolution to support the sale rather than stop the
folks,
sale.
Folks, way back, yes. I described him as bringing horrible moto, and you some of you got pissed off at me. But let me just tell you, you got to have balls bigger than elephants to have a community who's impacted, and you're seeing the population of homelessness increasing. And they come and tell you their problems, and you find that they admit that they are in conflict. The sale is in conflict. What was the term? They said the sale, it escapes me now. But they acknowledge that there was a default. And then he, in turn, his only solution, this is why he gets the great H in his forehead, horrible moto. When you say it's in default and you turn around and says, well, let's strip the bill of its original language, what you guys came to for, and then you insert language to encourage the sale of it. I'm sorry, folks. You can keep him. But I'm sorry.
The many of the council members were just incredulous that they were stunned that the council actually did not take any action. I mean, that's what we're saying. They did not neither approve nor reject these resolutions, and yet with no discussion whatsoever, the buyer declared themselves in default, declared the city in breach, and the buyer, they were in default. Wow. And we had not even had the meeting yet. There had been no discussion. But to its credit, City Council voted down Hamamoto's his floor draft. They voted him down 6-3.
All this means is that the city council is very confused. That's why you need an investigation going on.
I believe they are. Yes. I think they're just now waking up to how bad the math of this sale really is. I say again, you put $143 million on the table and people go deaf, dumb, blind, and stupid.
Exactly.
They just can't see the math anymore.
Mm-hmm. Carla, good morning. You have a comment, a question?
Hi, Carol. This is great. The city council, they're pretty much deaf and dumb, but I remember when they were trying to do the lie on the sidewalk law ordinance, and they said, well, we're not targeting the homeless. I mean, excuse me, who lies on a sidewalk? Who else would lie on a sidewalk? Anyway, you know, they show that bill. Yours might be give you folks a glimmer of hope if you can get to them and say, well, this we're not targeting the low-income people on these housing. We're not at all. And then if you can finally get them to understand that, absolutely, you're targeting those folks, and maybe they will change, enough of them will change their minds. It can work sometimes. You get to them, but you have to work at it, though.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Absolutely. That's one of the things they don't understand. Is that that they're going to raise, the proposal is to raise everybody's rents, all rents, including the very low-income current residents, by up to 10% per year, and low residents for 10 years. Now, people making 30-40% of area median income cannot pay 10% rent increases for up to 10 years. They just can't. They're going to displace the low-income residents out of these properties.
But it's not just the low-income that are being displaced. I'm at 60% AMI, and I can't afford 10% increases for the next 5 years.
No, they're going to displace virtually everybody with 10% increases. Yeah. And they're denying it. They're claiming that if you leave due to rent increases, that's just your choice.
We're not displacing you. You're leaving yourself.
You're not being forced out. It's just your choice.
You know what? It's just our choice.
It's your choice.
The folks that are on the streets. It's just your choice. You could go and a rental. Of course you can. You know?
You just got to pay this much.
Make enough money to
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this reminds me of when I was a senator and Kukui Gardens was my area.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
As owners of the King's Foundation wanted to increase the rent. So what I did is I went to HUD, and HUD didn't even know about it and stopped and cold.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
So that's why I say you got to involve HUD.
We're coming down to the last minute or so in this. If you want to join us again in the next hour, carolcox.com. Right here at 1080 KWAI AM. So if you'd like to call back, Rod, thank you. If you'd like to call back,
my pleasure.
Thank
appreciate
you,
Mr. Tim. Last minute.
Steve, what's your phone number?
Hey, let me tell you what. I have your number, and I owe you a call. I got your message.
Okay, you call me then.
We'll do.
Okay, and thank you, Dave. You can call back in the next hour. We're going to take a break here shortly. And anything, Jane, before we go out of this hour?
Oh, I will. I'm mad.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Steve, real quick, because we're going to take a break and we'll be back.
Yeah, real quick. I think that I have heard tell one reason that the city so adamantly denies that any residents will be displaced is because if residents are displaced, HUD requires a relocation plan.
Right.
You have to take care of people that you are deliberately displacing. Mm-hmm. And that takes time, and it takes organization, and it's going to take some funding. And the city is desperate to avoid having to do that, so they're just simply lying about displacing.
Here's people. What I would recommend. Give a bullet point document to the city council and show what's wrong. Well, they're not transparent. Put all those things to the council.
We've done that.
Okay, but again, it was one thing I was going to touch on, and we were going to close, is that we said we don't have standing. Let me remind all of you out there, as an American citizen and a believer of the American system, we always have standing. Let me remind you, this mayor, as cavalier as he is and as insensitive as he may come across, this mayor, we have standing. We vote him out. It's hey guys, so as advocates, we can't tell people, well, we don't have standing. Oh, we have standing. In fact, we can remove you with voting you. So remember, guys, when Kirk Caldwell stands up and wants to be your whatever, maybe he's like Mufi Hanman, maybe he wants to be president. You know, they don't know how to serve, and let us determine if they're deserving. But you do have standing. And that's not to take issue with you, Steve, but I just want, as an advocate and a concerned citizen, we always, it's our government. Mm-hmm. I don't give a damn
we
what falls
salaries.
Apart. I don't care how many visits we make down there at that Eiffel Tower. Look, guys, as advocates, we got to tell people and be specific. We always have standing. We own the government, and we can vote you out. And and guys, listen, Breen Haramoto, if you listen, I'm sure when his two-term series go up, he's going to run across the hall and try to be a senator or representative. That seems to be the behavior here. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to tolerate that either. But we'll be back. He'll be homeless if we keep that up. So we'll be back. Thank you, Rod, and Councilman Tam.
Thank you.
Thank you. right after the news on...
We are gathered here today for such a sorrowful, sorrowful occasion. I want to offer my condolences to the family and ask that you keep your head up at a time like this. But this just goes to show you that things we thought had so much value, they really don't have any value at all. But there's a brighter day tomorrow. But today, family, my words of encouragement to you are, get on. Get on. Get on up and dance, y'all.
I'm going to the club tonight.
Yeah, what's up? It's that time in the big city. 98 hot degrees out there. Check it out. There's a party going on all day at the beach. So, fellas, you might want to wash up the Chevys, drop the tops, and ladies, y'all pull out them bathing suits because it's going to be a scorcher.
Yeah, baby. Come on. It's time to have some fun. Summertime, so let's unwind and go out in the sun. I like when all the young ladies be off on the beach, trying to greet. Full deep in a convertible Jeep, looking oh so sexy. When them days of dudes, oh, they looking so cute. In them two-piece baby suits, they be illin', chillin', stylin', profiling down by the ocean.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol. The following program is brought to you by Carol Cox. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Hey, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. My guest is Mr. Steve Loesch and Miss Jane Pasquale.
Pasquale, yes.
And we're sitting here discussing and talking about the affordable sales efforts of homes, the sale of affordable homes, and the problems that are with it, and the learning that the actual sale is in default, is it, or the
Well, the buyer has declared default, mm-hmm. but the administration is scrambling to fix that. Mm-hmm. Again, the buyer declared the city and breach of contract, so the buyer is in default.
Yeah. So
apparently, it can be fixed if the city wants to bad enough, and they do.
Well, selling something that you already have is kind of, for me, is probably a greatest statement of ignorance that I've seen. When the population of homeless people, why would you want to hand it off? You should stand back and reevaluate, reassess the failure of your program, not selling anything, because selling it may complicate matters. So you don't know why the population is increasing. So you've had this failed policy of designing laws, keep people off sidewalks, no, can't have shopping carts, can't have this, can't have that, and then you go get a sledgehammer to bust up the shopping carts when your bills don't pass or the police don't move fast enough or the courts look at you like you have a stick in your forehead for arresting these people. But a bigger thing is when you went before the city council last week, we talked, and I was pretty excited, but then I should have known better. When we said we're going to go, you're going before the city council, and there was a resolution, and I had my hopes up, and I failed myself this occasion because I forgot I'm in Honolulu, Hawaii. This is where the most corrupt, most conflicted, entities I've seen in government anywhere, and I had hopes. I mean, you tell me I'm not a trusting soul. I trusted this process, but then I got wise and realized that what really is happening. So I don't want anybody to think that we're picking and throwing rocks at them. I respect them as human beings, but here's the problem. Kimberly Pine is a city council. She's been working with U.S. vets for some while, had an office housing there, so she's Akamai to the actual needs of homeless and the veterans. So she voted in favor of what on this occasion? To kill the amendment made by Breen Horrible-Motto, and then in turn she then voted to kill the resolutions that would have cause an investigation or what have you?
Well, no, to defer the resolutions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no. The resolutions weren't asking for a deferment. This is what she voted to defer.
The resolution. The council voted unanimously to defer.
Right. So she should have grabbed that.
She was one of the six who voted down the floor draft.
I got that, but you originally went there with the resolution in hand, hoping to have it pass.
To throw some serious speed bump here, so to
right.
fix
so,
this
so she should
sale.
Have been it should have been she if she was Akamai as we
yeah.
come to then
she there. Was one who declared herself especially disturbed by the buyer himself when the buyer with no discussion whatsoever declared the city in breach and therefore the buyer was in default.
Did she then follow up by offering some effort to do an investigation or do something? She just voted to defer the resolution and walked out the door and says, I killed his amendment and I voted to defer the resolutions. Problem solved.
Well, there was considerable discussion, but she did vote to defer in the
right.
The
and then
the
so
day.
We're
also
we're,
some discussion to audit the HUD okay. management process.
Right.
But you're right here that the city after years and many administrations, I mean one after the other, declared housing not to be a core competence of this city.
Mm-hmm.
We heard that mantra over and over. Housing is not a core competence of the city. We have to sell. Well, and with associated problems of homeless, you know, you're right that the sale of this housing does not fix that problem.
Yeah.
That's the root problem that housing and homelessness that is not a core competence of this city. This sale does not fix that problem.
Yeah.
The real question that's rattling around among us here is, so what do we do next?
Thank you.
What does fix this problem? And it's I think we're in agreement that city council missed an opportunity to make a real statement to fix mm-hmm. the problem. Stop this sale, stop lying, stop steamrolling and stonewalling city council, and sell the property competently. You can't manage housing competently. At least we're going to sell the property
mm-hmm.
competently. City council, I think, missed an opportunity. They're about halfway there. They didn't give us nothing, but they didn't fix the sale either. So the question, I think, is what do we do to fix not just the sale? It's not just a broken sale. It's mm-hmm. a broken process.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And a broken process is going to produce a broken sale every time.
Now, I mean, for the record, I'm not against a sale. I just want there to be a sale that's going to be a, quote, win-win-win for everybody, just like Keith Ishida called this sale. He called this sale a win-win-win for everybody. I don't consider this sale a win-win-win for everybody.
No, more spin is the current residents lose immediately.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
and the city itself will lose in the long run. The only winner in the long run is actually would be the buyer, because all benefits funnel to the buyer.
But isn't this what we're also claiming, that the city would benefit with the
143 million?
So how is it that the buyer would be the really the beneficiary, while then that means the city really isn't going to benefit? What are they going to do? And where is that money going to go? Is it going to go in the general funds to just where they can spend it on anything, or are they going to put it in a fund that is specifically earmarked for housing?
Well, these are part of our questions. A great deal of the financing for this is actually public financing.
Right.
It's not actually new money coming into Hawaii. which we would like to expect from a for-profit buyer that claims to be well-grounded and expert in this. A great deal of the funding is actually public funding that's already here in Hawaii, and we could raise for other purposes if we would. A great deal of the funding for this, we don't have to sell the buildings to raise. We could raise it and apply it directly to housing purposes. Now, where is the money going? This is part of the problem. This $143 apparently is already being promised.
$143 million
right, is. Right. It's already being promised. It's being distributed out for some very worthy causes to work on these problems we talk about, housing and homeless. But it's being promised out before it comes in. And, of course, it's what it's doing is making advocates for the sale. You put $143 million on the table and people just go nuts and they can't see the math anymore. What the city is doing is distributing $143 million here. And I don't want to say buying supporters for the sale, but certainly is creating an army of people out there who support the sale without wanting to do the math because they stand to benefit from the proceeds.
So if we are saying we support the sale, is it illogical for us to support a sale when we don't know when the sale is consummated or completed? We don't know and haven't burdened the city with giving specifics as to what is disposal of those funds gained from that sale? Are we enabling, aiding, and abetting? We were saying we support the sale, but we've not tasked the city management to tell us in details or at least some reasonable accountability what is going to be done. So how do we logically say to any degree that, oh, yeah, we agree with the sale, but we don't really know what they're going to use it for, and we don't have any containment.
Like Jane said, current residents, we supported the sale from the beginning because our owners, the city, the owners of our homes declared that housing was not their core competence.
Right.
Remember? And we did not argue with them. We had plenty of evidence of that in many ways for many years. We did not argue with the city when they declared that housing was not their core competence. We supported the sale in hopes of getting competent owners. Now, we also put in place, at least through Resolution 08-108 in 2008, we actually put in place a unanimous city council resolution that agreed to by the administration to establish guidelines for doing exactly what you just said.
Did they do it?
They did not.
So
they cherry-picked
so
this resolution.
So what I'm asking...
ignore provisions that didn't suit them, which included keeping everybody informed and transparent and accountable.
I'm feeling like a gerbil, a rat in a cage running around in a circle here chasing. Because if you said that they should do this, and it's the logical thing to do, accountability, justification that you're agreeing with the sale... you agree with the sale that you don't really know all of the ramifications or the impacts, and then you've asked them, and they've yet to provide that, and then we still say we support the sale, and then the buyer is saying there's default. I'm sorry.
It is a problem.
I'm stuck.
In the beginning, it was very supportable.
You get to dance on their table. This is when you get to act stupid, because at some point you've tried to be intellectual with them, you've tried to be reasonable with them, and then they're saying, but we're going to move forward anyway, and you're saying there's no transparency, we don't know, but somewhere down the line... This is just nonsense.
It's kind of like Rod said. Rod said it started off looking good on paper. It was something that we actually could agree to and in partnership and in agreement, and then proceeded to go somewhere else. You know, as a couple of years unfolded, here's a resident perspective. In fact, on what happened, that the original city plan was to maximize the price of these properties, was to put them on the market and divert the profits into general fund, take the money and run. There were bills for this on the table in front of city council in 2007 before residents and advocacy got involved. when we first began to get involved, this is what we saw. There were already administration proposals on the table in city council to maximize the price, dump the properties on the market, take the money and run. Okay, we stopped that, or thought we did, and mm-hmm. entered into, we started partnering and talking and involving residents into the sale, because we're the primary stakeholders. Mm-hmm. These are our homes. Mm-hmm. Everybody, if you live somewhere, then it's your home. These are mm-hmm. our homes. Okay, what happened some years later as it unraveled, that all the talk and all the agreements, all the resolutions later, as when push comes to shove, what's happening from a resident perspective is that the city is actually doing now exactly what it planned to do back before 2007, before any of the talk and partnership and all the happy talk. Mm-hmm. The city has maximized the price, put it on the market, and is taking the money and running.
So
the current residents are simply being lied to about this.
Let's go back upstream a bit. The mayor, Kirk Caldwell, is for the sale, right?
Yes.
His Department of Community Services, he appointed the director, Pam Whitty Oakland, correct?
Yes.
Keith Yoshida had a hand in this, right?
Keith was the original director.
Right, and
of the
he's
Office of
then
Housing.
Then here's what I would recommend. I would abandon any discussion. This is just, I'm just talking out loud and hopefully take portion of this as a suggestion. I would abandon the idea of saying yes, I support the sale, because you don't know what they're selling, you don't know what they're getting, you don't even know when they're going to put the money on the table, you don't know what form, is it going to be in one lump sum, and then is it, you don't know any of this. So I would say, though, based on what I know and what I've spoken to people internally, you should ask for an investigation of Keith Yoshida and how the buyers and all of this thing came about. And by the way, if you want to look at any of these documents, there's about 293 documents that we've posted. We did the show in June of this one show, and we posted these documents, and we talked about it. June 9th, 2013, at carolcox.com. Go there and look at that. But there are some big issues here. To sell it would be to allow the mayor to do exactly what should never be done, inflicting greater injury on a population of people that are homeless, that are just barely, their little feet are hanging, they're grasping the paint to stay in those buildings and stay in those homes, and we are actually aiding and abetting by engaging in conversation and saying, yeah, well, I support it, but they won't give us any, there's no transparency. You know, I think we can demand more and still have a conversation.
I think you're right.
I believe so. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that we imply that we still support this sale.
No, I don't support this sale.
No, we did it originally.
Okay.
And worked hard to have a partnership we could support.
Well, my bad.
Sale. But now we're supporting Resolution 13-292.
Right.
To stop this madness and fix the thing. Stop telling us this is win-win-win, when in fact current residents lose immediately.
Did you get a copy of that amendment that, do you have a copy of the amendment
of
that
Breen-Hanamoto's? No, I don't
no,
have a copy.
No, it was a floor draft.
But no, it was in writing, I'm sure. We can go back to the minutes and...
I'm sure it was.
Okay, I got to get that and post that up. That's a jewel, man. You know, that's a jewel. You know, hey, I see you drowning. Let me give you CPR. Here, take this salt and stuff down your mouth. That's the way I represent the people. My name's Breen Hanamoto.
Roll over and play dead here. This is, and our best bet is waking up our elected representatives.
How are you going to wake somebody up with that kind of ball?
And that isn't it. That's not it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, Steve, but that one takes a cake. That you go in for, you have a fixture, and you've been working, and another council introduces it, and this guy stands up and says, "Hey, move that aside. Give me the bill. I'll take all the language out, and then I'll just go ahead and sell it."
Well, largely
audacity is what it's called.
What seemed to torpedo this was actually the behavior of the administration and of the buyer. themselves. That the inability for years, and Carol Fukunaga voiced this, the inability for years to get answers from the administration, to where we're now kind of partnered, residents and legislators are partnered to get answers from the administration.
Okay, well, what did she do to get answers? She's voiced it. Well, what,
I mean, we're that's a conversation in progress.
Oh, okay.
Also, the buyer simply declared themselves in default with no discussion. Council hadn't done anything yet. The buyer declared themselves in default. Mm-hmm. That irritated a lot of the council members here.
So, yeah.
And even the buyer even said that even had Breen's floor draft passed, had council backed off, rolled over, and supported the sale in the resolution, the buyer would not even say that would fix their their problem. My fear now is that the buyer is gonna be twisting the knife in the administration.
And that's why we need the council to take a firm stance and not leave you and me interpreting and praying for something come along the way and enlighten them. They're already enlightened. It's
if
their
the council simply does nothing from this point forward, we're actually worse off.
Time is important because that sale is
exactly.
On the caller, good morning. You have a comment, a question? Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, good morning. As a former landlord, I've owned fourplexes before and other rental units. So I never asked the tenants or permission when I decided to sell the units or turn the multi-unit apartments into condos, and which meant the current tenant could either buy the unit or they'd have to move out.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my business, and I was just reading recently about the problem with the apartment house in Conneaut where the tenant is complaining. She has lived there for 35 years in a government-type facility. I don't know. I kind of object that my tax money that I pay for taxes here is subsidizing some of these people to live in these places for 35 years. You think that within 35-year period, they'd have make some effort to maybe find another place or buy their own home. Maybe you can't, but as far as renting in Hawaii, you go to Las Vegas, Oregon, or North Dakota, you can get a beautiful house for $300, $400, or $600 a month.
I'm sorry, sir, what is your point?
My point is these people who are renting on government housing and expect the government to take care of them for their lifetime, I object to that.
Yeah, you make a couple of good points. But first, let's remember that this housing is not a private business. This is government business. The fiscal responsibility is not the only responsibility that public governance has for the well-being of its citizens. So these are being managed by elected officials, by public officials, and they are accountable to us.
We don't need
our permission. You're quite right about that. They don't need our permission.
I understand.
But they do have to do everything they do transparently and accountable to us.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah.
But
and
I don't understand why the government has a responsibility to provide a woman or a family for a lifetime of low-income housing.
Well, some yeah. do, some don't.
Yeah.
This kind of housing
that's
is
my point.
It is the taken. This kind of housing is the best that some people can do. Now, don't forget, don't disrespect all segments of our society here. Not everybody is passing through this housing to live in a mansion on the hill someday. This is the best that a lot of people can do.
I understand.
Now, the city actually was trying to get out of, this is what we originally supported, transitioning ownership to private ownership to get the city out of the housing. That really was the original point.
That the city should get out of the rental.
Okay, the problem, one of the things that's broken about this sale is the fact that the way it's going to be done is that it is not
getting the city out. It's actually obligating the city either to displace all the current residents and then have to do something else, or to make rental assistance permanent, which does not get the city out of housing.
Well,
one of the problems with this sale is, I agree with you, is exactly what you're talking about. It does not get the city out of housing.
It
makes the situation worse.
In this facility?
Yes, he is.
I'm a chair of the.
But let me ask you something here. I call in. Thanks for calling. I appreciate your comments. You're right. No one should be able to live on government and what have you. But you say you own four complexes or duplexes?
No, I own a fourplex and number of rental units.
Now let me ask you this. Now, you independently and single-handedly built those buildings, and then all the roads and all the infrastructure and then the sewers. Did you, the amount of taxes you paid to the government, would that have been sufficient to drive an individual pipe from the sewage treatment plant to your place? Would the taxes you've paid, would it cover the total dollar amount to pave your a road to all points of your interest where you wanted to go to that building? So what I'm getting at is that you too have benefited from taxes, and don't you forget that, Dad.
But the taxes.
No.
You said taxes I paid for years.
Yeah, I understand. My question was, did the amount of taxes you paid for however long, was it sufficient where you individually pay for all of the infrastructure that you used to make your millions? Or did some tax dollars benefit you? Or did you benefit from other taxpayers? Let's get real. That's the deal.
I paid my share of the taxes.
And they pay their share when they go to store and buy groceries, when they buy TVs.
Taxes paid for fire, for police.
But it didn't pay the total dollar cost, Ed.
Right.
My point is, you benefited from tax dollars. So let's get real here. Just because you were fortunate to make some money, you're still a human being in this system.
Basically, when the push came to shove, I lost money.
Well, good. You were a bad investor. I mean, thank God for homeless houses.
Because of rent controls, not here in this state.
But you're dodging the question. You said that you don't want your tax dollars. Just imagine, the average American paid tax dollars so that you could have a house to drive, have paved roads and electric wires that you couldn't dare afford on your own. Tax dollars pay for that so you can make millions and then call up on the Carol Cox Show and tell the other homeowners, the homeless, come on.
That.
Anyway,
I paid my share of the tax.
And we also have residents who paid their share of taxes for a lifetime. They're now on fixed incomes.
Yeah. I love
you,
Ed.
There's no leeway for them to.
I love you, Ed, but, when we.
I think he hung up on you.
That's good, but when we understand. So all the. Something about when people make money, it dehumanizes them. It appears so.
I know rich people that are compassionate.
I know that too. But when they call up on the show and start saying things like that, I don't care if I know 10 or 1. Just the point is, we all pay into the system,
exactly.
and some are less fortunate.
Well, now let's be fair. If somebody put $143 million on the table in front of me, I probably would do bad math too.
Caller, good morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you again. Your last caller was just—he's clueless. I just think look at this. Here in the state of Hawaii, the highest cost of living in the country, folks are trying to live on $7.25 an hour minimum wage. Come on, and you're supposed to get yourself an apartment and blah blah blah, all this kind of stuff. There's a huge need for affordable housing in the state. But you know what? The state is very unresponsive to that because they, it's the whole thing about the whole ownership of land and the arrogance of land owners, I think. Yeah, well, I did it the hard way. Who put that infrastructure, who put those roads in, who paid those things so you could have,
Well, that's when money allows you to define you're no longer a citizen.
Well, it's called elite.
Right.
And well, yeah. And you're arrogant. You're saying, well, you listen, I did it. I pulled myself up out of the bootstraps
my solution would be to, if you have a fourplex and you're renting it to people, then you should pay a toll to compensate the taxpayer for every time someone use it, or every time, whatever, when you send a painter to the house, the painter use the roads that others help pay for, so, you know.
You know, I'm not trying to degrade or insult anybody, but this is, my comment right now is directed to the prior listener that called in. You do not know what a person goes through until you are in that situation. So that person who called prior and said, well, I this, I that, I have this, and I have that, you have that now. But what if all that stuff was taken away from you overnight? You better believe you're going to be going to the government for help. Okay? That's all I got to say.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
And, I see this, and then I occasionally go by Queens Hospital and on Baritania and the Kalani Moku building. And occasionally you'll see senior citizens or a person that's debilitated, that's immobilized, can't move, can't walk. And they've been placed on that hill there, either apparently being discharged from the hospital, have nowhere to go. This is a human being. This is not a patient.
Right.
A human being. And we're quarreling over, groveling over the who pays taxes.
Right.
See, this is when I think we all need to stand back and stop looking in the mirror, because all we see is ourselves. We need to learn, see others, because I don't care who you are. You could be born into richness, or you could get lucky and play the game and get some money. But make your money and just be silent,
Exactly.
Don't be arrogant. And set rules for us. I mean, because the reality is, Ala Park, it's pouring rain out here now. There's a large population of people, and there in other places, no shelter.
Right.
And we're talking about base taxes. But anyway, that's not the purpose of this. But go ahead, guys.
Yeah, I as always, had some question among ourselves in the early days. We characterized it as the administration working a money-first model. For them, this is a real estate transaction. It's about the money. From the community perspective, from a resident perspective, we need people first, at least in our public sector. We need to stop making war on our public sector here. And run a people first, community first, people first model. And when you do that, suddenly you can see that the people we're talking about are there are chronic illnesses, there are physical and mental debilities that are real. There's a disproportionate number of veterans. There are elderly people here. When you start looking at real people. And low-income people that are doing the best that they can do, they just earn 30-40% of median income, these folks are all going to be displaced out of these problems. This sale is going to displace these people in order to generate a bunch of money to what? House some other people. We're displacing some to house others. It's a very, very flawed model for doing very necessary work. The work we're trying to do here and that people are doing, and last week we talked about Senator Chun Oakland and the way she's consolidating programs, doing very necessary work, but what we've got is a very flawed model for doing this.
Yeah. So what goes on with this city sale and all, it's mind-boggling that anybody would want to move forward with it, and until they address all the flaws in it, and how many people, let's say, this is something I'm trying to track down. If anybody out there deals in real estate or has information on this, I was told in passing that there's the largest population or increase, there's a great increase in foreclosures amongst veterans, men that purchase houses under the VA or Veterans Administration.
Why does it have to be men? There are female veterans as well.
Okay, monkeys or whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying, as men, whoever, my point is, I'm just soliciting if anybody knows if that is true. Veterans, I'll just...
Thank you.
Okay, well... If anyone knows that any LGBT veterans or any...
Just veterans.
Okay, well, but anyway, that's fine. But the point is, you just, again, if you have any information with that so-called rumor, please give me a call or an email to carol@carolcox.com. Because that in itself is, you know, a lot of people, administrators, boast on what they're doing for the veterans. And a lot of them were successful. The veterans are and served the country, got a good deal, and apparently things have changed economically. I don't know.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. Back to the sale. there are so many wrong things with this, and you know, I hate to dredge up the past, but I have a whole book here of things that happened during the process that were never really brought to light. But I'm going to bring them to light now, even though those things have already happened. But these things that I'm going to bring up right now are the reason why I think that sale needs to be rescinded or stopped or paused so that we can actually do the investigation, do the math, as Steve says. Anyway, so there's been from what I understand, a violation of Chinatown is a historic preservation site. This is one of the things that has been violated. It's a historic preservation site, and no EIS was done. There was no environmental impact statement or study done on how it's going to affect the current population or even a projection of what's going to happen, you know, should these prices go into effect.
Yeah,
those are just two things.
This sale proposes to collapse the mixed income structure.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the larger buildings have a deliberately implemented mixed income structure: low, mm-hmm. moderate, and market. Low mm-hmm. income, gap incomes, and high incomes. A mixed income structure makes a healthier community, where you have a mix of incomes. If you have just a mono income, single, uniform, low income area, that's projects. Mm-hmm. That's a ghetto, right? Mm-hmm. This sale is going to collapse the mixed income structure of these properties. Now, that which affects the whole
list.
Community.
Let her finish with her list, because we've given that a lot of attention.
Right. Okay.
Was going to play.
That's EIS material, and it's being avoided, too. Yes,
yeah,
she's
because,
right.
and for those that are listening out there, it's federal monies are involved,
mm-hmm.
so that would trigger it.
Right. Well, there's an EIS that established the mixed income in the first place.
Right. Yeah, I understand, but I'm just saying, in case someone's listening, well, what do you mean, EIS? Well, this is not environmental...
Impact statement.
Social,
economic, and cultural factors.
And so Chinatown is that, and it has mm-hmm. buildings. And but again, there's federal mm-hmm. monies too involved. So that, mm-hmm. if anybody, just mm-hmm. go ahead, and
okay.
we'll get right back to
that.
Yours.
Needs to be investigated too.
Okay.
Let her
now,
tell her the points.
Well,
she was
in. There. I mean, I have a lot of stuff.
Well, go ahead.
One
go
of
ahead.
The things that bothered me during the process of this. What they said, the selection committee, okay, they said that there was a resident involved. Technically, and I'm going to name names, okay, Catherine Cat Wong, who used to live at Chinatown Gateway Plaza, but was not living at Chinatown Gateway Plaza during the time of the selection process.
Mm-hmm.
Yet she was on the selection process committee. Well, okay, yes, she was a resident, but during the time that this process was happening, she was not a resident. So don't tell me that there was a resident involved, because there wasn't. They didn't ask me. I would have been more than happy to be part of the selection process. You would have probably been happy to do the selection process. But why are they lying? They're lying and saying that there was a resident involved. Yes, she was a resident at one time, but not during the time that this happen. So sorry for making a big deal about this.
Our tenant association was not consulted about
exactly.
this either.
Exactly. And you know what? I have to make a disclaimer
residents
here.
Did not install
Let me
a
make
resident.
A disclaimer before you go on. Kat Wong is a nice woman. She and I have never had any differences, and she's probably going to be mad that I'm saying her name before having consulted her, but I'm really pissed off about her. And Kat, this is not against you. This is against the city, the buyers, and whoever put you on the committee and said that you are a resident because you weren't, and you know it, Kat.
And the next one, what other? You got another point?
I got many points, but I think I've spoken enough. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, it's that was pretty much for show, to put a resident on the selection committee without actually consulting residents. That is just a symptom of the way the entire process has run. The total lack of communication, of partnership, of transparency and accountability, even though we all agreed before we started that that's what we were going to do, including the city. In a unanimous resolution before City Council, and then it did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Still, to this day, it isn't happening.
And while I'm mentioning names, June Yang, who at the time was, I don't know his exact title, but he was, I think, chairman or president of FACE.
No, he was the lead Oahu organizer.
Okay, thank you.
Of FACE.
Well, he claimed to have the support of the residents and claimed to speak for the residents. On record, I'm saying I was a resident, still am a resident. You do not speak for me, okay? June Yang, you do not speak for me. FACE, you do not speak for me. I am a resident. I speak for myself. You guys went ahead and pushed this sale through and decided... I didn't give you permission to decide on my behalf. So now what gives you the right... I'm sorry. Okay. Now I'm being irrational. Let me just sit down. Let me sit back. Maybe I need to go outside where it's raining. Maybe I need some water on me or something.
No, that actually is a sore point. There are people there who are still good friends that we work with. But in fact, FACE had a resident group that it organized. It simply stopped meeting or organizing after a while and used this resident group to claim to speak for all residents without ever speaking with us. And in fact, they were still putting forth this resident group at the time of the decision-making in October 2012. In fact, this group had been administratively dissolved by the state at least 4 months before. It had ceased to exist. And yet FACE is still putting this group forth as speaking for all residents. Bottom line is, FACE apparently didn't even know that this group had actually been dissolved. I mean, that's how in tune with the resident voice.
Well, how does one find, like, June Yang, and how is it that the two are wedded? The mayor finds June Yang and then appoints him as the... housing, we'll call it the czar. How do we, I mean, I'd like to know. I'm just curious.
I
so
was not
the advocate
there when that
seemed to be working on behalf of the affordable home tenants and whatever. Then all of a sudden, no longer, and now he's heading the
mayor's.
Okay,
well, I'm going to be daring and say, I think it was a payoff. I think somebody was paid off here. And I'm not going to name the name.
You're
but
not suggesting that anyone in government would reach out and take an advocate and pay them off and buy them off, would you?
Oh, that is exactly what I'm suggesting.
Oh, you don't say. Okay.
Well, and I'm FACE, only suggesting it.
FACE did declare its support for the city. I mean, through these mechanisms that actually did not speak for all residents.
And they won't show their FACE now, though.
If they...
I'm sorry.
They actually never did understand Chinatown really well. I mean, we've worked closely with them for a number of years.
But just so that people know, it's more than Chinatown. It's 12
that's
installations,
right,
facilities.
Around the
only half of
Manoa.
Them are actually in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
It's like some people might think, oh, they just want to live in China. No, there's many people to be impacted by
right.
this.
That is
12
right.
system or units.
That's
or,
correct.
Or facilities.
No, buildings.
Buildings.
12 properties.
Mm-hmm. 12 properties.
Yes. 1,257 in individual
units. Right, units. Yeah, so I think people don't get that, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, I and there was a presence even on Wednesday. Their face was still in there. It's interesting that their spokespeople are kind of backing away from that. I from a resident perspective, again, I think that's a good thing. It absolutely serves no community interest to have a group claiming to speak for the community when actually they're doing PR for the administration.
Mm-hmm.
That just that does not fix anything we're talking about.
And who's doing PR for the city?
Face.
Face is doing PR for the city.
No wonder they wanted it to be approved.
So the former head of Face is now the housing czar.
He's the director
for the city.
Of the Office of Housing.
And then his organization is now putting. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and on across a couple of issues, including rail, Face went to a federal judge and got themselves declared an intervener on behalf of the city.
Or is it an interloper?
This was
regardless of any issues that come up, Face has declared unquestioning support
so
for the city.
So what is it, Teal Transit Orient Development? That's probably where the mayor and Hanneman and those guys for the rail would use Face to come in and speak.
They're still involved in that.
You know, so how do we trust anybody like this guy to go around, any of them? I mean, to the mayor.
I don't trust any of them.
I mean, it's anyway.
That's why I'm upset, because the people who are supposed to be entrusted in the people's welfare are not doing what's best for the people.
Well, it's a deliberate. This looks more and more like it's business as usual in Hawaii. That
we got to stop the business as usual.
What it looks like and smell like is a conspiracy to defraud, knowing that they've misspent, failed to spend it properly, failed to be consistent with the law in the and the use of these funds, and now they want to exacerbate that, commit a greater crime by incorporating and using others. It's a conspiracy.
Well, I don't know if it's
a conspiracy. I don't care. It doesn't matter if you know. This is my opinion.
Like you
say, let's always understand.
Understood.
Personally speaking.
Thank you.
And I didn't offer that for. I didn't offer that to solicit what you thought about it. I'm telling you, this is my take on it. And that when you hire the director of the housing advocate, the homeless and what have you, affordable homes advocate, and you put him as czar, you don't give him any. And then you then take his organization and have them to go into court and sign off as an intervener and have the judge rule because it impacts traffic or transit-oriented development. Sorry. Conspiring is just when two minds meet to commit an illegal act. All they have to do is make a phone call. Do one overt act. So it's not like they have to go out and kill 100 homeless people. I'm just saying. Yeah. So,
no,
in
when you put a lot of money on the table, power gathers around that money, and eventually, apparently, so do large advocacy organizations will gather around the power and the money.
There's big money out there, man, and God only knows how much they're going to take from you as renters.
That's what these proposed rents are supposed to do.
Right.
They're increasing the rent 10%. Each year for the next 10 years.
Right. For low-income people. We're talking 30-40% of AMI, low incomes.
So they've taken HUD money to buy this facility and to fund this facility, and then they decide, well, now we got it. We're going to sell it. And then in turn, we're not going to be consistent with the law. We're going to exempt ourselves in a way. And then the people that are going to be impacted that this HUD program was designed for are not going to benefit.
When housing is not your core competence, and selling housing apparently is not your core competence either, the people who pay will always be the poor. the low incomes, the your customers.
Yep.
I mean, these people are customers. Of,
how the
of
train
this.
Come folds back in everywhere you go. There's a. Yeah.
Well, that is my point. My main point is that there are just too many facets of disorganization, of unanswered questions. This sale is just not certain. That's the reason why I think we should stop and answer these questions and fix what's wrong and, you know, be open about it. Let's not rush, because if we rush into this, in the long run, we residents and taxpayers are going to foot the bill. That's my bottom line.
Real quick.
This has always been the story. At every step of the way, suddenly we have to rush. We got to hurry. We have to hurry up and make this decision. And we never seem to have time to stop, have full, honest discussion, include all of the stakeholders genuinely, and do the math. We just never seem to have time to do it.
Still doing it. Resolution 13-274, which you folks tried to get them to introduce.
Yeah, 292.
States, 274 here, 13-274, regarding, whereas the city is in the process of preparing neighborhood transit-oriented development plans and accompanying special district zonings.
Now that is to establish policy for transit oriented development.
Well, I was saying, but then they get face and the director. So it's just making the connection for those who go.
They're gathering like flies around the honey or whatever. They're gathering around the flies around the money.
Let's hope they get stuck.
Money gathers power, and power gathers everybody who wants to be big and loud and important.
Okay, about 30 seconds. What, you, anything closing, and you, Jane?
I pretty much said what I need to say. I just want this sale to stop.
Yeah, broken process makes broken sales, and the sale is broken, but the broken process is the real problem. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to stop this, is fix the process. And that's why it's not an overnight deal.
Well, let's keep watching them and see. And then, again, I don't know if the listeners appreciate it, and we can do it over and over. You can come in and we...
Well, I like your suggestion of bringing in more areas of...
I enjoy it. Let's see if the city council, someone will come in and talk. Ask one of them, or Mr. Rhodes or Ms. Fukunaga, or someone to come in. I'd love to. I mean, it's an issue that impacts people. So anyway, real quick, and thank you for joining in.
Thank you for having us.
Anytime. I love the but
you're welcome.
I'm working on this thing with Board of Water Supply, and it's not over, folks. The Ethics Commission that has no ethics is supposedly investigating the Board of Water Supply, and they said they suspended the contract with UTC 10 at the Board of Water Supply. But they were busy trying to figure out who leaked documents to us. Well, let me just tell you one thing real quick. I told you about change orders. I just want you to hear that from 2009 to 2013, one company, for the sake of program management for CAS replacement and managed development of new customer information, remember that customer information service? That they say was a problem and what have you. They spent money. The original contract was $796,000. They had at least 10 change orders. Change orders, one change order was $84,000. Another was $360,000. Another was $840,000. Another was $608,000. Another was $174,000. $565,000. $520,000. And they want to know who leaked documents to the media. So, Chuck Tato, if you're listening, ethics escape you. And then they have Letha Dakaris, who's a former major with the HPD. Let's be honest and look at the real ethics. Let's look at these change orders. How do you go from $796,000 and then have 10 change orders that balloon to $4 million? So anyway, if you want to know and chase the documents, I hope you luck, but I hope you also have the homeowners and the ratepayers and the customers of Board of Water Supply in mind while you're chasing the workers for releasing documents, if they did, in fact. Thank you, and guys, thank you. See you next week.
Thank you.
Aloha.